Welcome to ReChurch. I'm Marshall Fant, the Director of Church Consulting and Strategic Planning for Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. My purpose is to encourage pastors and church leaders as you refocus, renew, and revitalize your churches. We've established this podcast to offer practical tips and suggestions as you equip disciples to make disciples. Welcome back to GFA Missions Podcast ReChurch. Marshall Fant here. So glad to have you with us again. Appreciate all the work that GFA puts into this to edit, to produce it, whether you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your favorite platform is, or watching on YouTube. We're glad you're with us, and so thankful for this ministry before us. And today, again, I often say I get the privilege of interviewing friends. I got two more friends here today. So Art Springer and Carrie Baggett, welcome to ReChurch.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, so the context of this podcast really goes back in March of this year. I think you'll find it listed as March 24th. I interviewed Pastor Caleb Phelps. And so the process with Caleb was, okay, what pastors wish pulpit committees knew about what they're going through, okay? So the flip side of that are Art and Carrie, and both of them were on the pulpit committee for Faith Baptist and Taylor's as they worked through the whole interviewing, vetting, all that to call Pastor Phelps. So really, what the podcast is today is, okay, what pulpit committees wish pastoral candidates understood about what they're trying to do and why what they're going through on the local church's side. So again, Carrie and Art, so y'all feel free to chime in. So the background will be this, is I was the interim at Faith and Taylor's before Pastor Phelps came. Carrie, you were the chairman of the pulpit committee, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And Art was a valuable member of the committee, and they met. First, we'll talk through some organizational things they did, which I thought was very good. But they would meet every Wednesday night, and I think that was crucial because it's consistent, so they were able to get updates, or most Wednesday nights. I shouldn't say every, but most every Wednesday night they were meeting and going through updates. So, again, Carrie, the total, and again, we know Faith and Taylor's is a larger ministry, but the total number of people on the committee, was it nine? I can't remember.
Seven,
okay.
Well, the committee of seven.
Okay, and I was simply an advisor. I was not a voting member on that. So I just got to watch these men operate. I got to see God use these men to bring them together for unity through the whole process. In fact, I don't think you mind me saying that after our first meeting and just looking at all the different personalities on the committee and the task in front of you, I went home and I think I told Gretchen something like, well, I don't think Peter or Paul could be called by this committee because there was so much in front of you, right? Okay, so background. So I guess Faith had been with the last time a pulpit committee was, what, 13, 14 years ago before this, Carrie?
About 15, maybe.
15. Now, Carrie, were you on that committee?
I was. I did have the privilege of being on that committee.
And Art, were you on that committee as well?
I was not. So
okay.
I know some of the men that were, and I was at the church at the time.
Right. Okay, so kind of both of these men obviously are heavily involved. So what I'm trying to say is the pulpit committee, you know, Art and Carrie knew the pulse of the church. All that is taken for granted. Okay, so this is not a message so much on how to run a pulpit committee. The podcast, the topic is, okay, guys, pastors, pastoral candidates, this is what we want you to understand of what we're going through. All right, so let me just throw a couple things out, and then I'm just going to let the two of you ping pong back and forth. All right, so Carrie, start us off with this. So I want a pulpit, I want a candidate to understand that as a committee, we may be moving slower than you think we should. Okay, so just both of you talk through that. What are some reasons for the slowness? Why and that type thing?
Well, that's a great question, and you are going to have you're going to have differences of opinions on how fast you should move, even within your own committee, possibly.
Right.
But definitely you're going to have people in your church that are thinking that we're going to have a pastor next month. and then also the pastors that you're talking to, I think the pastors that are out there, I think they understand that Most of them probably that it does take some time, but the reasons for that are you really have to do your work. You have to do your homework. You don't want to rush into something that and miss something. You want to make sure you're covering the things that you need to cover. There's a lot of detail in that room, in that committee room, to discuss. You want to make sure that you know what you're looking for, and so the expectations of the person, the philosophy of your ministry. So there's a lot of things. You could go on and on with that, just that one topic of what do you need to do to prepare for this. And so you're not just going into that room and saying, okay, who thinks we need to talk to Mr. Smith? Okay, call Mr. Smith. Let's see if he wants to come. You're getting a lot of names. You're getting a lot of things out on the table. First of all, your committee is setting some guidelines. And then you're looking at people in depth. There are so many things that you want to make sure that of any potential candidate that you want to make sure this person really falls in line with what we're looking for. So there is definitely the time investment involved, and you hope it's not, an exorbitant amount of time unnecessarily. You want it to move. Sure. And thankfully, the Lord gave us an opportunity to move right along time, these things can take a lot more time than this one did. But praise the Lord for our search, things did move along. But still, the pastors out there, of course, need to know that there's a lot going on to this search.
Yeah, I think when we, first of all, it took several weeks. Names kept coming in. Names came from friends of our ministry, from good other pastors maybe that heard of our search, and then church members. Yep. And as we started to narrow down maybe our prerequisites, we could eliminate some fairly quickly, maybe because of age, maybe because of something else in the person's family, whatever it might be. So we could start eliminating a few names. But it takes time, and we were very serious about vetting good candidates. And the other thing is, you don't notify those candidates that they're being considered. Most of the time, someone else has given you the name. Only once or twice did we have a name actually submitted by a pastor themselves.
Yeah, I think Art brings up a good point there. So as a confidentiality is a key. And that's where Art's alluding to there and the whole process there. Now, I mean, but as far as busyness, now I should have said this in the beginning. So I think y'all being able to meet every Wednesday night was a luxury, okay? Because, I mean, like Carrie is an administrator at Hidden Treasures Christian School, so he's got a full-time job. Now, Art, you're retired, but you're on the missions committee. You sing in the choir. I mean, you're on this. I mean, you're still very...
I was a deacon at the time, of course.
Deacon at the time. So there's a lot going on both worlds, and plus the other five men, plus you two. So it's not like this was all you had to do in ministry. But because you did have someone else to carry the service on Wednesday nights, you all were free to do that. But even with that, it had been a number of years since you had a pulpit committee, right? So you had to get – and that's a good thing. This is a positive. But you still had to get organization, who was doing what. You had to get tractions. I know Carrie put together notebooks for everybody. You would take minutes. You would go through all this. And what I'm saying, it just takes time to do this.
It does. The very first meetings, you're really not even talking about people as much as you are unifying your group. Now, you can... I mean, anybody that thinks through the whole process of any committee, to get three, five, seven people to all be thinking together and go in the right direction. I mean, I did want to mention 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." We talked about that verse in our first meeting. Yep. You know, we really wanted everyone to be together. And there's some other things that we can talk about that kind of you can break that down into other pieces as well. But you're right. We had duties to talk about who would be taking notes, who would be helping contact, who would be a liaison for our congregation. So there are the first few meetings, or at least the first couple, we're just kind of laying the groundwork, laying the foundation yeah. for what is the process. Even the process that takes time. So yeah. to be able to lay that out, and Art mentioned a minute ago about, you know, some of the things that we lay down as far as the qualifications that we're looking for. What are we actually looking for in our pastor, and the age and education and family and experience? There are so many things. So yes, a lot of time in those first few meetings, just kind of laying things down.
And it seemed to me that one of the things that I wasn't ready for, but quickly realized, every meeting we prayed, of course, but the first several meetings, every man would pray around the table.
Right.
And as we grew together as men, you know, some of the men I knew better than others. Our church is large enough. They weren't all close friends, and a wide variety of backgrounds and a pretty good variety of ages, but praying together and crying together for the need of our church made it a strong team.
It did.
And let me follow up on that real quick, if I could.
Sure.
March, oh, yeah. Right, we prayed every meeting, everybody. We made it a point to give mm-hmm. everybody the opportunity to pray. And we really wanted that. We wanted that from the beginning. We knew that we couldn't do this, as Art said.
Only God.
Only the Lord could help us. We needed him. And I think that was one of the things that was so amazing about our committee, this group, yeah. is that we had a group of people who just really, we knew that we were destitute of in ourselves. We needed the Lord's help. We needed his strength. We needed his guidance. And even when someone couldn't be at a meeting, Art would be, you know, traveling. He would call in. We had people yeah. on the phone. We had phones sitting on the table, and they were listening in, and they would pray. Over the phone when it came time to pray. So we were really focused on asking and receiving from the Lord his help.
All right, so let me comment on this. The key is it takes time. Art said time for unity of the hearts to come in together. You mentioned all the responsibilities. So I think the pastors have got to understand that whatever process, this is going to take time. Now, communicating that to the church, I mean, that's another whole podcast, another way to do that. But again, the focus here is, and again, I appreciate because, and I think this is a compliment, not, I don't mean in a derogatory way, but all seven members were quite different, correct? Different, I mean, you had different gift sets, you had different
True.
Ideas. And I think, now, Carrie, correct me on this, Art. I believe you came away that you would not go forward without a unanimous vote from the committee. Am I remembering that right or not?
We didn't have there were a couple of times there were certain sections that we wanted to be totally
right, okay.
unified.
Right, right, right.
And then there were a couple of other sub levels depending on right. where we were that right. we wanted to have a consensus. We wanted to be able right. have everybody, we kind of did the, yes, I need to think about this a little bit more, but I'm on board, maybe a sideways or a negative. Yeah. And so we tried to basically make sure that we were moving forward in maybe not 100% with everything we were talking about, but enough to move forward.
Right.
If there was a no vote or a concern, even if it was 1 out of 7, we talked that through. And then many times that person would say, look, I agree with what we're doing. I'm ready to go forward with you, even if there were those questions early on.
All right. So, again, I want to go back to Art's comment. So it takes time for the committee to have a unified spirit of working together, right? That's where I'm trying. And this cannot be rushed. So any pastoral candidate has got to understand this takes time. Okay.
Right.
So, yes. All right, let's go to the next point. So, again, as far as what I want pastoral candidates to understand is this, and then y'all run with it, that we as a committee are initially vetting several men and not just you. All right. So, Carrie and Art, just talk about some of the things that you did that a pastoral candidate needs to know, of the way you vetted serious men. You know, when you got down to, okay, this could really be a possibility, it takes time to vet them. So, y'all run with that. So, tell us what are some of those things you were doing that was taking this so much time?
Well, we did look into their situation, where they are. We would try to listen to, we would listen to sermons that they would be preaching. If they had an online service and we could just go online and follow up with their archives, we would just listen to their sermons. We would find out about their church. We want to look into their church to see if it's somewhat compatible, basically, or, you know, looks like it's our philosophy or our you know, fits our kind of what we do here at Faith Baptist Church. Finding out, and we did as well ask questions. We did send information. You know, we would send them information, asking them to fill out things. I know that the whole idea of visiting a church, that usually comes later. And a lot of times, depending on your philosophy or your time or your financial situation, that's not as it's not as high on the list now because of so much that you can do online. So you really, we weren't planning to do that unless we just felt like we absolutely had to. And we didn't in this situation with our committee, but we would be looking at their listening to their sermons, getting a full breakdown of, you know, their philosophy of ministry and really looking at their answers to the questions we would send. So there were several different things that we were doing to find out about them.
And Marsh, to kind of keep in context, if we're trying to let maybe particular candidates know why it's delayed, that means that we have somehow reached out to that candidate. So there were a number of candidates that, you know, came to us, the names that we never reached back to. But right. Those that we did, you might say we came down to a top six or a top eight or a top 10 list. Those are the ones then that if we were going to reach out, they would hear from us. And it might have been, you may be aware that we're looking for a senior pastor. Your name has been given to us. What interest would you have? Something like that. But probably only that deep until we got down to maybe our top three candidates. So there was never any urgency or the candidates calling us saying what's going on, because again, confidentiality and the fact that we weren't calling a lot of people.
Yeah. And I want to just echo what you're saying there. So I think along with us, I would say that in those meetings, Carrie and Art, y'all were evaluating the entire ministry, not just the preaching. Like you said, right? So you were doing, and this was not simply the final candidate. This was part of the vetting to get to the final candidate.
For almost everybody, we took the time to vet, at least learn more about every name.
So that takes time. Now, is because I think y'all were committed. You correct me if I'm wrong on this, but you were as committed to know as much about that candidate's ministry, where he was, and what they were doing as possible. Is that?
Oh, definitely. We were trying to, and we had that, and Art was just mentioning, you know, we had different people assigned, different potential candidates or people that we were looking at. We had them assigned to different people. So each person, we're not just leaving that all with one person. Go out and find out everything about everybody. But speaking to what you were just mentioning there, you've got to have... You cannot just say, okay, for example, and everyone, people would understand this, and certainly pastors, but this is part of the time element, what you just mentioned. We're not just looking for how you're preaching.
Right.
We certainly want a man who's going to preach the gospel, and we want a man who's passionate and fervent behind the pulpit. But we want to know about your family. We want to know about your involvement in and their involvement in ministry. We want to know about your church philosophy of music. We want to know about your church philosophy of missions. We want to know what are you doing in your niche there, your neck of the woods there in your community. We want to know, we have a school here for students with special needs, as you mentioned a little bit ago, and that's a very important a part of the heartbeat of this entire ministry, since that school was started by Pastor John Vaughn, and he was a key leader for many years, as most people know, in this ministry. So we had to find out a lot of different things about a lot of different parts of the ministry of the people we were looking at.
And as we, in some ways, it was maybe easier for us. This sounds brash, but to eliminate people, if the person was in a one-man church, a good man, but had only been in a small work of, let's say, 80 people or fewer, we really didn't put him to the top of the list to come to a ministry our size. As we then learned about, they have to be able to work with other staff, be able to work with associate pastors. And then we looked at some of them, had they come up, were they once a youth pastor and then maybe an associate? Yeah. So we looked at those types of things. Mm-hmm. And then I think we also looked at reference material about things that we should look for. And that might include, is the man got a great reputation, and is he not in problem with debt in his own community? If that information is available, it was important to find things like that out.
All right. The whole thing, time. It takes time. It takes time.
And even a follow-up to that, even if a church and our ministry, obviously it's a larger ministry, but there are many, many wonderful churches out there that are vibrant
and doing the job
that aren't the size of our ministry. But that I would also just throw out the caution. Don't think that means that you can cut the corners on these other important things. You still need to look at the philosophy of that man. You need to look at what he's doing in his church, what his ministry, what are his other affiliations? What does he spend his time doing? And so again, like you said, that takes time, but it's not just in a large church. Any church needs to spend that time. You need to put in that work up front so that you don't find something out. What if you go through that whole process and you get to the end of that or toward, way down the road, and you realize, wow, we haven't even talked about this particular thing. And that's something that's really important in your church. So you've really got to spend the time on the front end, and that does take time, of course.
Yeah, and I don't know how many. Of course, the world I live in is churches finding pastors or what that. And so, how many times come back a year later? How did we miss this? Yeah. Okay, so I mean, there are things you're going to miss, but as a rule, you've got to do your homework, and that homework takes time. And what I was going to try to say is, on the pastor side, okay, so the minute, an Art Springer or Kerry Baggett or somebody in a pulpit committee reaches out to them and says, would you be interested in possibly applying, to be a candidate, that rocks his world, okay? It rocks his world. And so what I'm trying to say is, so pastor candidates, if that your world has been rocked, you still got to give these men time to do their job. Because just because they contact you, it doesn't mean that you are the final candidate. They've got to go through everything they've said, right? I mean,
And that's a good point. And we did talk about that very much, because we knew that just merely contacting mm-hmm. someone and letting them know that you're, and our phraseology, and Art can help me with this, but was something to the effect of, your name has been submitted mm-hmm. to our committee, and we would like to know if you're interested in even being involved in the process at all. And so we wanted to give them an opportunity. We had some that would write back and say, thank you so much for letting me know that I had been mentioned. I believe the Lord has got me right where he wants me.
Sure.
And I believe this is where I need to be, or some other reason that they would give that would be totally understandable and totally perfect to have. but then we would not have them on that list. But then, you know, we wanted to let people know that you're just being, this is the introduction to this. This is not, like you said, we're not way down the list, but we want you to know that your name has been brought up. Would you be interested in being involved in that process? And, you know, and then, you know, going from there.
Right. And we really didn't end up then further down the road. I think we finally ended up with our top two, and just because of time, mentioning the time frame that went along. So we really just had our two top candidates that we followed up on a little more closely. Some of the others, either they had turned us down or we had never reached back after a name had been given. Yeah. So Marsh, we tried not to rock too many worlds.
And I think that's appreciated. All right. So let me piggyback on that. So I think so this is, and this did not happen, okay, that I remember, but I just want to give a warning to pastoral candidates that, you know, that the committee is committed to prayer and patience and God's timing. And we all understand that there are situations, most pastors have children with schools and this kind of thing. But I'll just get y'all to comment on this. But what I want the pastoral candidate to understand is their timing cannot dictate what the committee must do. Is that, you want to comment on that? Because regardless of their timing, you have to have clarity from the Lord. And I never want a pastoral candidate. In fact, it doesn't speak well of a pastoral candidate to start to put pressure on the committee that I've got to know by this date. And again, that did not happen, if I remember it, Faith. Correct. But it does happen in other committees. So if maybe one or two of you would just comment on that, how would you explain that?
Well, I guess, number one, representing a search committee, you know, caution, caution, caution. You mentioned children in school, and I know it goes without saying, but also the wife, you know, maybe it rocks her world, Marsh, more than
maybe,
the man.
Maybe, yeah.
And so suddenly this man is going to go home, and he's going to say, hey, honey, I had a church contact me about a possible move. Nothing like that news over the morning coffee.
Yeah.
But again, caution up front, and if we're cautious up front and say we're just starting the process, are you interested at all? Then that sure helped us not be pressured by any candidate. So,
No, that's true, and thankfully we didn't. We
our experience, anyway.
Yes, yeah. It was good, but I have heard of that type of thing happening. And I guess really it is just one of those things that's got to enter the picture, and that is just the realization that this is not a fast process. They're just, you know, the pastor that's thinking, man, it's almost like a job. You know, you're wanting to call back, or you're wanting to say, you know, email back and say, are you guys still looking at me? You know, are you guys still thinking about me? You know, and we have that feeling sometimes, you know, and I've even talked to people recently who are in job hunts, you know, and they're, should I call them back? No, I said, no, just give them a couple more days, you know, and be patient. And because they are on it. They're certainly, and hopefully that pulpit committee is communicating as soon as, you know, you don't need to leave people out there hanging. You want to be communicating with them and letting them know. So that is aside from the committee to the pastors and letting them know. And we definitely tried to do that and let them know, here's where we are, here's what we're thinking. And but yes, it does take some time, because you don't want to you just don't want to put something out there and then think, okay, we've jumped ahead. You know,
in our particular case, there were two candidates. The top two that we did contact and really tell them, you know, that they were nearing our final steps. And then when we made the choice on one candidate, we immediately followed up with the one that was in second place. And it wasn't that many weeks between him being notified that he is in the running and then being notified back that that wasn't going to happen. So we tried to quickly communicate as soon as we knew.
I guess the whole thing I'm trying to tell the I want to encourage other pulpit committees, don't allow a pastoral candidate to dictate your time frame.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, because there was a case where one pastor said, if you don't let me know about, a candidate said, if you don't let me know about such and such a date, I'm going to the next church. Okay, well, maybe if that's the way you discern God's will, maybe you're not our guy, okay? So I just want pulpit committees to understand they need to work on their timetable.
And that's a good point. We certainly were trying to move things along, but yes, a pastor would just, you know, as gracefully as we could say, just give a little patience. We know that there's anxiousness, there's anxiety, there's, you're kind of, it's just the unknown. And so, yes, you would ask for just some calmness, prayer, and patience as things go.
And really, if you can't work together before you come as a pastor, you're not going to be able to work together after you're there.
Okay? That wouldn't be a good start.
Okay. All right. So last big umbrella I want to touch on, and this could have many paths, and we have about, less than about 10 minutes to cover this. It would be this. Okay, so you're trusting the candidate for integrity and transparency. At the same time, the pulpit committee's got to be transparent about the situation of the church. Okay, so, I mean, really what I want to concentrate on here would be really, and I saw you men do it, but explain to the candidate why you need details on such things as, we need you to be totally transparent on your theology, your philosophy of ministry, unresolved conflicts in your family, unresolved conflicts in your life, changes that you, because, you assume that they're getting to know you. And do you see what changes would you anticipate making? So, Carrie and Art, comment on how you would ask, as a pulpit committee, you would want the pastoral candidate to understand that transparency and integrity is at the forefront here as we try to work this thing out.
Of course, transparency and accountability, and generally, if it can at all happen, it should be face-to-face. We have the technology for Zoom and so on, so that's probably second best, but it's often very good. And then we had an opportunity where our top candidate actually was in town, and we had the chance to sit down face-to-face. So we did not travel to his church. But it's that time together. Nothing substitutes for that. So, that might add 2-3 weeks in a row of some conversation, because you say, look, let's get back together. You come with your questions. We'll come with ours.
Yeah.
And it's almost like we didn't leave anything unturned. Now, we may have forgotten something and wished we would have thought of it earlier, but nothing major comes to mind. So the major things going on in our church and things that we thought the pastor should know, we certainly tried to review. And I think the pastor candidate was willing to ask tough questions. We were willing to ask tough questions of him.
All right, Carrie, let me ask a question in context. All right, so I think initially there was a 8 to 10 question air sent to the candidates, right?
Yes.
And then the deep dive came. Do I remember that right? It's the way we did that?
Right.
Okay, so on that deep dive, they had a copy of your constitution, your statement of faith. They had they had done their deep dive into faith, right?
Right.
All right, so you want to comment of anything there about anything that would help a pastoral candidate understand why you're doing all this? And
sure. So in some ways you can think of this as a job interview,
right?
Obviously it's much more than that, But I mean, why would a pastor, you know, not want to know everything involved with a ministry or a job that he's going to? And why would a pulpit committee not want to know everything about a pastor that they possibly could? So you're only helping each other, as Art said, to ask those hard questions up front. It's kind of like the test thing. I heard once that you're either going to sweat before the test or you're going to sweat during the test, but you're going to sweat. So you're either going to sweat at those questions or you're going to sweat after the pastor gets here when everything starts coming out. And so you really, it's to the advantage of the pulpit committee, the advantage of the pastors, the candidate. It's to the advantage of the entire ministry to know as much out there. And for pastors, you know, certainly they're God's men, but they're men, they're people. And so the maturity that they bring to the table of saying, I want to know, I want you to know, the maturity they bring to the table and the knowledge that this is helpful. This is helpful for his family. This is helpful for his former church. It's helpful for everybody to just spend that time to find out as much as you possibly can about that ministry. Don't leave any stone unturned. That would be my advice to the pastor. Find out everything you possibly can about that ministry. Ask those questions, as Art said, and the pulpit committee or the pastor search committee, you know, ask those same questions. Get together and think of everything and don't think, oh, this is not that important. It is. It's all important. I mean, everything you can think of. I mean, there may be some things that go overboard, but think of those things and put them down on paper and be ready to just lay it all out there.
And maybe it goes without saying, but on several of the interviews, as we were getting closer to our decision, we did involve the wife, and certainly the pastor would want that. A pastoral candidate would want that for his wife to learn more about us and for us to learn more about her and how she and her husband work together. So I didn't want that to go unsaid.
That's very important. Thank you, Art.
We really felt that we needed to know both of them fairly well.
Amen. No, Art, thank you. That's a key point. So that is vital. All right, so I'm gonna change gears. I told you I wouldn't do this. All right, so now I want you to talk to, because this just came up with a church, and I just want your input. So the situation is this: a pulpit committee had done all their vetting, all their research, and everything. They had all the momentum. Now, again, I didn't sense at any point with your committee, Carrie, y'all ever lost momentum. Okay, but so this church, they did everything, and the man was called, he was voted on, and didn't work out. He chose not to come. Now, the pulpit committee, I recommend them just to take a break, okay, and not try to reassemble immediately. So as a pulpit committee, what could you both do, what would you both say would be a way, if you start losing momentum, okay, or you go through a serious setback, or you can't come to a unity on a candidate. Any of those, all those variables could come up.
Okay.
So, Carrie, you've been on more than one pulpit committee. Art, you're a spirit-led guy. What would you recommend a pulpit committee? Hey, let's just take a break and reconvene in a month. I mean, what would you advise a pulpit committee that has lost their momentum, may not even have a candidate, you know, they get starting everything all over again? How would you encourage these men if I tell them, hey, call Carrie Baggett or call Art Springer? What would you tell them?
Art, you go first.
So there's several aspects of this. I'll let him touch on the one as far as the number of top candidates, because we did have a process there. But I will be transparent and say that the first pastor search committee that we had here years ago, 15 years or so ago, we did have a time when we did lose some momentum. There was a time there that we had a few hurdles that definitely were emotionally difficult to handle. And so we did we did have that dynamic then. We did not have that dynamic with this, this second one. And on that first one, we did that very thing. We had to, everybody just take a deep breath. We had to spend some time in prayer. Mm-hmm. And then we did say, let's just, let's take a little break and let's think through some things. Everybody do some personal prayer on your own.
Good. Okay.
And let's come back together. And of course the, looking at it after that, you've got to have some things that are encouraging. Mm-hmm. If you have a loss in momentum or some emotional letdown, then when you come back together, you've got to have that encouragement. So hopefully that will be brought on by scripture, by knowing that and just reaffirming your goals, knowing what you're looking for, what are you there for. There are battles, there are setbacks in just about everything in life.
Right.
And so this is it. I would say expect that. And then when it comes, you won't be totally caught off guard, because it is definitely a possibility that can happen.
Follow-up question, and then we'll let Art comment. All right, so now when I was there, I was the interim pastor, so there was no pressure of pulpit supply or anything like that. Now, Carrie, in that search 15 years ago, I think y'all had an interim as well. Is that right?
We did.
Okay, so so that was at both points, y'all were not under pressure to just react, to have somebody in the pulpit. Okay. So I want to make sure everybody understands the context of that.
That first time we had a little bit of pressure at first.
Okay.
We were trying to get people in there. And then later on, we did bring in that interim. In your situation here, it was much less pressure because you were here right from the start. That was a huge blessing.
Yeah. Well, that Art was responsible for that. So you can either blame him or whatever.
I guess that's the only other search committee I've been on. But anyway, a comment is, and Marsh, I think it might have been under your leadership, the vetting process takes time. And particularly if you start from day one, time goes by. So we had two top candidates. One of the reasons was when we extended that invitation to the first, to our number one choice, if he would have come or said no, then we didn't have to start all over again. We had this other candidate sort of waiting in the wings. That would keep our momentum going. Now, if both candidates would have said no, then we would have had more of a delay.
Yeah, and let me say this. It wasn't just a pulpit committee praying. I think the whole church, we had that month of prayer where there was that 24-hour prayer chain on Saturdays for a month. I think so the whole church was involved in this. As well as I think there was a prayer time on Sunday mornings too, if I remember right. So the whole church and pulpit committee was committed to praying God's will for this. So that was good. All right, I think, let me see. We could go on forever and ever, but I know our podcast time is about up. So, all right, so I'll just open it up. So anything else you want to add to this? Again, for the pastoral candidate to understand what you guys are going through from the church side.
If other men who are choosing to go through this and be on a search committee, from my side, it was humbling. And when I saw the Holy Spirit work in our committee and then on our candidate changing his mind and saying, yes, I will come. That was just amazing to me and spiritual growth for me. As far as the
talking, back up context. So originally the candidate said, "No, I'm fine where I am." Right?
Yes. Now the candidate, he went to his mentors and people he trusted, and they said, "Well, look, we know that you're doing well where you are, and you're not seeking to move, but go ahead and stay with the process," which he chose to do, following his mentors. And then when he came to our church and met us and some more interviews, the Lord took the decision to him, both him and his wife, and they said, yes, we are interested in coming.
Okay.
So, and as far as the speaking to now to a candidate, is just a time to grow, a time to learn, and it won't always go your way. But then what has the Lord taught us? Amen. What is the Lord teaching us by going through this?
Amen.
Yeah, Carrie. Amen. I echo all of that. And we could talk for a long time about the pulpit committee or the pastor search committee side of things and help in those areas from just the lessons we've learned. But I will say from the pastor side, what a blessing it was to be looking at a man and talking to a man that had the maturity to follow the Lord's leading and to follow good counsel. And I would just say that for any pastor out there, your maturity that you bring to the table, your spiritual maturity and your love for the Lord and your desire to want to what God wants, that will help keep you calm, knowing that you're not necessarily just wanting to be there, you're wanting what God wants.
Amen.
And so if you're wanting what God wants, that will help keep the whole picture in perspective. It will keep you from wanting to rush. It will keep you looking for the right to ask the right questions. It will just keep the whole process steady. The maturity of the committee and the maturity of the pastor both work together for a really beautiful process. And we just praise the Lord for how he worked in our
thankful
lives. Amen.
Godliness with contentment where you are right now is great gain. So I appreciate that.
Amen.
All right, Carrie Baggett, Art Springer, thank you so much for your time. Again, it's a privilege to get to have you here and share your experience. I will just make one other comment. You know, and I saw these men working together, and I saw them interviewing candidates, and I saw a mark of spiritual maturity is to be able to ask the hard questions amongst the committee yourself, but then as a committee to the candidate and the candidate back to the committee. So if I would just say, pastoral candidates, if you find it hard that the committee doesn't want to answer the hard questions, then it may not be a church you should consider. Because I saw, you know, again, Carrie and Art ask, you know, answer very hard questions, you know, about, you know, just the uniqueness of faith and why, just different things. And so I want to thank you, men, for exhibiting a spirit-led heart as you did that. And again, if we had the other five members of the committee sitting around this table, I want to thank them as well.
Amen.
So again, if you'd like to talk to Art or Carrie, email me, mfant@gfamissions.org, mfant@gfamissions.org, and I'll put you in touch with Art and Carrie, and y'all can carry on further conversations from here.
We'd
and I would
glad
say
to
this.
Do that.
Yeah.
Anything we can do.
If you are a pastor considering changing churches, I think it'd be wise to talk one of these two men and just have an idea from a godly deacon's viewpoint, pulpit committee viewpoint, what you can do to prepare your family and your heart to go through this process. And so, because faith is not looking for a new senior pastor. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. But what they have experienced could be a great asset to you. So again, if you'd like to talk to them, contact me and I'll put you in touch with these two men. Okay. Greetings to Faith Baptist Church and Taylors. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Mars.
You're listening to ReChurch, a podcast of Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. If you would like more information about our ministry or how we may assist you and your church, visit us at gfamissions.org/consulting.